I'm a bio and specialty pharmaceutical analyst at Oppenheimer. The next presenting company will be Antares Pharmaceuticals. Antares has both gel-based and injectable-based products. Presenting for the company will be CEO Paul Wooden.
Okay, thanks, Chris, and thanks to the organizers for inviting us to present at this conference. And I'm pleased to be able to present just after having received an approval from the FDA last week. It always makes life a lot easier when you're presenting after something like that occurs. But that was a significant event for this company. It was our first NDA we'd taken through ourselves. And we're obviously delighted to have received an approval. And in 3 short years, we've been able to take this company from a company with a market cap of less than $30 million to where we are today. So we're very happy with the performance of the team and the company. Safe harbor statement I shall leave up there. Just talk a little bit about what we are and what we do. Our background, we're a fast-growing pharmaceutical company. We've now got two FDA approvals on the basis of our gel technology and one FDA approval for our injectable technology. We have a very late-stage pipeline, and what we've been able to do, I think, is really grab ownership over the device-drug combination development pathway for particularly in injectables. And this is where we see the future of the company lying, because there's a lot of injectable opportunity out there. The return on investment is going to be very good. And the mission of our company is really to make it as easy for someone to give themselves an injection at home as it is currently to take a tablet. And this is particularly appropriate for a lot of the biosimilar products and biobetters that are going to be coming down the road. Investment highlights, we're a revenue-generating company, and we have multiple shots on goal, more than 10 programs in development and or marketed right now. 3 products have already been approved. We've got 2 on file with the FDA and 5 in advanced development. And it's fair to say that we are seen as a leader in self-administered injection technology now. Given the number of business development discussions we have ongoing right now, I can certainly say that the level of awareness of Antares has never been higher. We are also the only U.S. company that offers auto-injector, pen-injector, and needle-free technology platforms. We manufacture everything we have in the United States. A broad partnership with Teva, which is going real well. The Vivex methotrexate program, we successfully completed a clinical trial in the summer. I'll talk about this later. This very much is the future of the company. And we also got our Antarol gel approved last week as partner with Watson, who will be launching that product sometime in 2012. And we enjoy a growing revenue stream from the HGH needle-free product, which is commercialized here in the U.S. as well as in Europe. And that's an interesting product because that actually shows the way forward, I think, for what the biosimilar market is going to be all about. Our IP gets stronger. We've had several patents issued in the past few months, and we'll continue to see that occur. So with our mission, our partnership with Teva is really a key thing for us. Bob Apple's in the room today. He manages that partnership. And we've got a number of injectable products there. Most of you are aware of the fact that the T-Jet product is growing in the marketplace, doing very well as a result of launching that product with our technology. They've almost trebled sales in 2 short years. We are the first ANDA for the EpiPen, and that program, as most of you are aware, is currently in the courts. With a trial date set for next year. And we have 3 other products that we're developing with Teva. Key to all this, though, is the fact that what we've learned with Teva and working on those programs with them, we've now applied to the methotrexate program and identifying other molecules like methotrexate where we believe our delivery technology can add value to the molecule. And we've subsequently also developed a new version of the Vivex product, which is, in fact, the technology behind the methotrexate, which is called the Quick Shot, which is designed to inject highly viscous products. Things like antibodies are highly viscous. And we think that this is going to be the next generation of auto-injector, which will enable us to work with other companies on biosimilar initiatives. A diverse and advanced product pipeline. Right now in the company we have 30 people, and this is the size of the pipeline we have. And you can see there with the injectable products we have 6, including the marketed product SomaJet or T-Jet. And in the gel products we have 4 programs, Elestrin, which is already on the market, Antarol, which has just been approved by the FDA, Libigel, which is, I guess right now we're waiting for the phase 3 data, and Nestrogel, which is a contraceptive gel, which is in partnership with the Population Council. The self-injection technology portfolio, it's all about making sure a patient can give themselves an injection safely and effectively at home. We have three types of platform. One is the disposable auto-injectors, the Vibex system. This is a product where you would typically use it, say, once a week to inject, and the patient never sees the needle, they never feel the needle usually, and it's very safe because the needle retracts back into the device after the injection has been given. The pen injectors, we have two programs with Teva with these. These are multi-dose pens. Patients would carry these around for maybe a month with a month's supply of drug in there, and it's designed to work with some of the new cartridge manufacturing technology that's coming through. And then we have our reusable needle-free injectors, and this is the one that's already marketed with HGH here in the US and in Europe, and also in Japan. It's fairly clear, though, from all the market research that we've done, that the type of technology we own is going to be vital in the future for biosimilars to be successful. And one of the reasons that this is important is because if you look at the HGH market, which we'll show you in a minute, product differentiation is going to be key for manufacturers who own biosimilar products. And they're going to be competing in a marketplace which will need to be serviced by a field force. They'll need to brand products. There's going to be no such thing, in my view, as a pure generic biosimilar, which you just exchange at the pharmacy for a branded product. The company is going to invest a lot of money in clinical development and branding these products, and in order for those to be successful, they need a differentiation technology, and that's what we offer them. So our self-injection technology offers patients and physicians good performance, safety, and reliability. It's a significant growth opportunity as well. The growth of the biological market has just been stunning in the past decade. These are the new blockbusters. And right now, the global sales of branded biological products that are compatible with our self-injection technologies exceed $50 billion today. And the biosimilar market as well, it's in its infancy really, but that's going to be worth some $2 to $3 billion here in the U.S. by 2015, and that's based on analyst projections. And the growth of this is going to be driven by things like patent expirations of existing biologics, rapidly growing demand of biologics, mounting pressure on healthcare budgets, and allowing patients access to affordable medication, which the Biosimilars Initiative is designed to do. The targets for biosimilars are huge. It's actually peak global sales of branded products are anticipated to be in the $100 billion range, as shown on this slide here. And that's what we're working on with Teva, is a collaboration to exploit our expertise in developing injectable products. And we have a set of programs with those guys there. Teva provides us with a lot of muscle and expertise when it comes to the development and regulatory side of this business. We're certainly learning a lot from working with Teva. They're a great partner. They've done extremely well with the HGH. We're seeing sales of HGH grow really nicely as a result of launching the product with our T-Jet injector in 2009. And in all of our arrangements with Teva, we rely on revenue streams, which include not just development fees and things like that, but also sales of devices, disposables, as well as royalties on the product. So with all of our programs with Teva, with all the programs we'll do with other companies in the future, we will work with them on an exclusive drug-by-drug basis. So we will not license our technology out to another company if they're working on the same molecule. And what we're finding is with the development of the biosimilar market, this is certainly in a business model that's very attractive. So with Teva, we have T-Jet, which is already on the market. And as I mentioned earlier, they've pretty much tripled sales in 2 years. Our auto-injector products, both of these are filed with the FDA. One of them is undisclosed. One of them is the EpiPen. And Teva currently are working through the litigation on that one. And we receive margin on device sales for that and amidst a high single-digit royalty on product sales of the EpiPen if and when it goes to market. Our two pen injectors with Teva, I think these are actually really interesting programs. They're big drugs, and one of them is a generic. We're anticipating that an ANDA will be filed on this in 2012. The other one will be a branded product, 505B2 type of approach. and we have made good progress on both. The 505(b)(2) program itself has already completed the pharmacokinetic work, and we're going into clinical studies. And on both of these, again, we receive a transfer price plus a margin on device sales, with single-digit up to mid-teen royalties on the products. And these 10 programs, I believe, are probably the most valuable part of the portfolio with Teva. If we look at what happened to Tevtropin, we're in a good position here because I think this has given us a snapshot of what's going to happen in the biosimilars market and how the product differentiation angle is key. And we're one of only about half a dozen companies in the world that really is able to offer companies the type of breadth of technology platform that we have. We have, in the case of the U.S., a big market for HGH. It's a $1.3 billion market. Tevtropin was launched as a needle and syringe in 2005. And by the time the needle-free injector was launched in 2009, the market share they'd taken represented about 2% of the overall market. It was clear that managed care, although they were given a price break on the HGH, were more respectful of the differentiation that the device provided, particularly in terms of patient compliance. But they actually wanted to see this product in a device, and that's what we provided. So right now what Teva has is, I believe, the best product device on the market for kids who need needle-free injection, and also the best pricing on the Tevtropin itself. So they really add value to managed care. And what we've seen this year is quite a good increase in patients being transferred on block onto Tevtropin away from other products. And we expect that trend is going to continue. In the European marketplace, the product's been on the market in Europe for a little bit longer than it has over here in the United States. But over there in some of the more developed markets, already taken about 12% market share. And what's interesting about this market is if you look at the players in the HGH market, it's companies like Pfizer, Genentech, big branded companies, and the only way they differentiate their product is through the device technology, and that's exactly what's going to happen with biosimilars going forward. So we're ahead of the curve here on this particular business opportunity. So having learned what we did with Teva, we decided that it was time for Antares to take control of his own destiny and identify products that we could actually place into our own pipeline using the delivery technology we have. And I should state one thing that's really important here. This company is a company with a lot of device technology and device background, but the management team is a pharmaceutical management team, and our idea here is to progress pharmaceutical products using our device technology through the pipeline and eventually onto the market. And going forward, we will retain a much bigger component of that commercialization income stream than we have in the past. So we actually went through a screening of the products that were out there today. All of our work is based on good solid market research. We believe in doing that first before you initiate development. And we came up with the four products, actually, of which methotrexate is the lead that entered development. It actually entered a few years ago. We didn't announce the asset was being developed until we'd actually locked down some of the intellectual property around this asset. And as we mentioned in the summer, we successfully completed the clinical trial on methotrexate, but we have at least three other products behind that that will go into the pipeline over the short to medium term. We'll talk a little bit about rheumatoid arthritis and why it's an interesting market for Antares. It's a market that affects about 2 million adults in the United States, and patients today already use methotrexate. It's considered the foundation of rheumatoid arthritis treatment. Most of the biological products, either in the pipeline or on the market today, are already co-prescribed with methotrexate. But methotrexate is an agent, when you're given it orally, you don't absorb it very well or very reproducibly, and a lot of patients out there are getting suboptimal doses of methotrexate. If you can optimize the dose of methotrexate, then you can improve patient outcome and potentially delay the use of biologics in the future. And we know from a lot of work we've done with prescribers that if there was a self-injectable version of methotrexate available for patients, that they would switch their patients to that injectable form much more readily than they do today, because the current form that's on the market is for a deep intramuscular shot that you have to go to your physician for. And what we're doing here is changing this to a subcutaneous shot that patients will be able to give at home. I was actually at the American College of Rheumatology meeting just a couple of weeks ago with some key opinion leaders, and I was really amazed at the excitement I saw from these guys when they'd seen the device. This is actually a picture of the 10 milligram dose methotrexate product we have, which is currently in the clinical development phase. And the ability we have now is to be able to allow physicians and patients to know what they're getting with respect to a dose of methotrexate. You can titrate patients to a higher dose. There's a lot of data out there that shows that efficacy of injectable methotrexate is better than oral methotrexate and also better tolerated. And this injection that we give patients, first of all, they never see the needle. Second thing is the injection process itself is three easy steps. It takes less than a second to inject the drug under the skin. In fact, what we tell patients is just count to three and it's done, and that's what they do. It's that simple. And the reports we got back from the initial clinical study were very, very encouraging on this one. On top of that, we know that physicians like the knowledge that a patient that they've prescribed 10, 15, 20, or 25 milligrams of methotrexate for is actually getting that dose. A lot of patients, when they're on higher doses of methotrexate, are not necessarily fully compliant because of the side effects of the drug. There's a ton of literature out there which support the use of subcutaneous methotrexate. The product's already been used in Europe subcutaneously. We will be the first company to come out of the agency with an auto-injector for subcutaneous use over here in the United States. We actually do have some discussions ongoing with companies, which include European companies, about this asset. And what we see here is a number of publications. We've listed six where subcutaneous methotrexate is shown to provide a lot of good efficacy. And we believe that with our particular product, we'll be able to gain a decent number of prescriptions for injectable products. Basically, what we've seen is that we should be able to sort of reach 14-15% of prescriptions for methotrexate, given as this particular type of injectable, if not higher, and it will certainly be priced at a level which will make it a good economic opportunity for Antares. So here's where we're at. We have good reproducible PK data and injection site tolerability from the preclinical work we did. We completed our clinical trial in 2011 Q3 with positive data. We met with the agency in the last quarter and confirmed and clarified the regulatory pathway for the NDA filing. The good news here is that it's an execution story going forward for us. We've also been able to work with the agency to identify a pathway which I think is quite unique, something that only a company like Antares can achieve. Given the background we have and the technology platform we have. And we know that rheumatologists will embrace the product from our work that we've done over the past two or three years. And importantly, we have also filed new IP around this product as a result of the clinical work that came out in the summer. So we now have three patents which we filed for this methotrexate program. Switch gears here and talk about the transdermal gel portfolio. Mm-hmm. And this is an interesting portfolio for Antares. We actually just got our first NDA that we sponsored ourselves last week on an Anterol product for overactive bladder. And some of you will recognize that we actually did sell the base technology platform to Ferring a couple of years ago. But we retained all the rights to the advanced development pipeline. And the reason we decided to do that was simply because we felt that the return on investment would be faster and quicker and better with injectable products, pure and simple. But we made sure we retained all the rights to the late-stage development programs we have with the gels because they are interesting commercial opportunities. So Anterol, or oxybutynin gel 3%, is something that just got approval from the agency. We identified that there was an unmet need in the market for an efficacious product with low side effects in overactive bladder. Pretty much most of the drugs that are used to treat overactive bladder are anticholinergic agents. The side effects include dry mouth and constipation. Oxybutynin is probably one of the better anticholinergic out there today, but its side effects profile was, you know, it was up there with the other anticholinergic agents, but you could actually reduce that quite significantly by giving it transdermally and avoiding first-pass metabolism. you can see, the market is over $2 billion. It's growing. And most of the patients in this market tend to be female. And female patients love putting gels on rather than taking tablets. We've not just learned that through other programs we have, but also through market research we did recently on the contraceptive gel. This particular gel has already been approved for use. It's a once-daily transdermal treatment for overactive bladder. The gel itself dries quickly in less than 2 minutes. It leaves no odor or residue. And Watson will be launching this product, as I mentioned, in 2012. We're getting ready manufacturing product for them for the launch. And I think for Watson, this is a really good strategic acquisition for them. It extends their overactive bladder product portfolio. You may recall that they already sell a transdermal product out there today. I think they will own this segment going forward, and more than that. But when you actually look at the amount of intellectual property that we have between Watson and ourselves in this segment, it's a very strong IP base for the future. Alestrin is already on the market. This is a gel for HRT. It's partnered with Jazz, who are just in the process of acquiring Azur. And this program is actually important because this is the same technology platform that's behind LibiGel and also the contraceptive gel that's in development. But the important thing here is that the agency has already approved the delivery technology, not once but twice now with Antero. Let's talk about Nestrogel, which is our contraceptive gel. It completed phase two last year. It successfully suppressed ovulation in women, very well tolerated with no serious adverse events, no skin irritation. And it's a combination of the best drug for contraception with the best delivery route. When you give contraceptives through the skin, we believe, and there's a lot of research to show this, that you will minimize any thromboembolisms in the population using this different route of administration. And there's already a big population of women out there who would benefit from getting contraception through the skin, which are women who have a body mass index of over 29. And there's a few of those around these days. But when you have a BMI that high, the fact is that the oral contraceptive pill is contraindicated. And with the sort of epidemic we're seeing in diabetes, obesity, and the like, we think that in actual fact this could be quite an interesting product. And that's certainly been validated by physicians that I've spoken to in this space. So we're actually seeking a commercialization partner for this product. I'm pleased to say that we have some discussions ongoing with that one, and we will report as we make progress on that in 2012. With LibiGel, we have a program here with Biosante. The phase three efficacy studies have been completed, and right now I think folk are waiting to see what the data looks like. Right now what we know is that Biosante have publicly stated they plan to file an NDA on this one in 2012. It's one of just numerous pipeline projects for Antares. It's an important project, but right now we've got a lot going on with this company. I'm pleased to say also, though, that recently we received a new patent covering the formulation itself of LibiGel, which goes out until 2028. So LibiGel now has very strong IP protection. Cash position. We actually have, as of September the 30th, we had a strong cash position, $32 million on the books. We have no debt, and growing revenues and our burn rate, which we can manage quite effectively now, was about $3.7 million in 2010, so about $1 million a quarter, and we're managing that burn. What we have to do now is to make sure we invest correctly in our R&D pipeline to make sure that we develop products quickly and effectively where we can bring them to market fast, like we're going to do with methotrexate. The potential milestones for the next 12 to 18 months, Antrol is going to be launched by Watson. We would expect the Teva epinephrine product to be commercialized. We have a second auto-injector product, which is going to be approved and launched, we believe. Other Teva programs will advance, including the first pen product, which will file as an ANDA, we understand, next year. The LibiGel NDA should be filed. The Vibex MTX NDA will be filed. We'll have a partner on Vibex MTX in Europe. And we will have a new pipeline product going into development using the new Vibex QS technology. which we've already done the market research on it. It's coming back really well. We've talked to patients and physicians, and we know there's a real need for this product out there. And as soon as we've actually locked down the intellectual property, we'll announce what the what that program is. So that's it. It's been a busy 3 years since I've been the CEO of this company. I think the achievement of the Anterol NDA really was the goal we set out to achieve 3 years ago. We did it. We've done a lot else besides that. But going forward, I would just like to say that if Antares has made good progress in the past, this is just the start of what is to come. Thanks very much.
Do we have a few minutes for questions, if anybody has any?
Thank you. Can you provide more feedback on what you heard from FDA on methotrexate? What things they've asked you to do or not do, or more path to get approval?
Yeah. So the question was just some feedback from the agency on methotrexate. So the kind of work that we need to do for that one includes user studies where people are actually using the device, which is quite typical. And then on top of that, we're also doing usability studies, which is patients who have rheumatoid arthritis using the device in a clinical setting. So that's the type of study we're being required to conduct. And the advantage of those studies is you're not looking for an outcome in terms of efficacy. So it's an execution story as much as anything else.
I'll just add a question here. Paul, can you talk about how what your research shows in terms of the number of patients who might transfer from an oral or injectable version of methotrexate to Vibex MTX?
Yeah, that's a good question. Right now there's about 2 million patients in this country who could benefit from who actually do take methotrexate. But what we've seen is the growth in prescriptions, this is intramuscular prescriptions, has been from about 3 or 4% of total methotrexate prescriptions a few years ago to closer to 7 to 8% now. And these are patients who are having injectors at their doctor's office. Through our own market research, what we've found is that if you talk to rheumatologists, they'll tell you that they would double or potentially treble their prescriptions for methotrexate if it was available in a convenient at-home use type of application. And that's what we're developing. And it's an injection which is given once weekly, which is the same frequency as most of them take their biologicals. So I think it actually fits the market opportunity really well.
Maybe just one last question here on Anterol. Given that Watson has 2 similar products, can you talk about how you think they might position and prioritize Gelnique versus Anterol?
Well, I think Anterol offers Watson a chance to reinvigorate the presence they have in the OAB market. We know that they're building resources behind this one. I think that what Anterol offers them is a product that we found in the clinical trials that the steady state blood levels were reached rather quickly. We had good data points early on in the clinical trial that showed the drug was working very effectively after 1 or 2 weeks. And I think what this will do is give Watson not just the line extension opportunity, but also because of the intellectual property protection it has, a much longer lifetime as well for this product. So we're actually really pleased. We think they're the best partner for us, and we're very happy to have been able to conclude the deal with them. Thanks very much.